In Heart and Soul is a community show in which Dr. Bill Little and I attempt to bring about a way of looking at life a little more specifically and a little more hopefully in terms of bringing your center and your focus and issues into the body where the feelings and intuition live and out of the intellect, which is not a basis for walking in your life in a way that works for you. Many of you have listened to the show. Many of you know we've also moved from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And that this is a show that is also a call-in show. And since I'm here by myself, as in last week, I'm going to put out the plea that people call because it helps me to focus and answer questions that have to do with whatever's going on in your life that can be helpful. I am a transpersonal psychologist, and I'm willing to take on any questions regarding relationships, yourselves, things that are in your way, or issues that you feel don't allow you to do what you want to do. The number here at KNRY is 649-5679. That's 649-5679. If you're on a cell phone, the easy way is 649-KNRY. 649-KNRY. If you're outside the Peninsula area, it is a toll-free number, 888-814-6434. That's 888-814-6434. Well, if Dr. Bill were here, I'd probably start out by asking him how he's doing and also telling him that down here on the cannery where KNRY is located, it is a beautiful day. And for those of you who are around, you're also looking out and noticing how nice it is. Hope you can enjoy some of the day today or have. It is really pretty. Today, as always, we, Dr. Bill and I, and in this case myself, look at specific topics that we'd like to talk about and continue on in terms of ways of walking one's life. Last week when I was here, I talked a great deal about aspects and beginnings of coupling, what it is to embrace the thought of being a couple, how does one start doing that, and what are some of the foundation pillars of being in a relationship. Today I'd like to continue with that. I felt like there were a lot of questions. There were three callers that called in, and I felt like we talked about some things that started that conversation. But certainly in my clinical practice, I do a great deal of work with couples and see a great deal of couples with all kinds of issues going on and want to talk more about the issue of being in a relationship. Clearly, most of us want to be in a relationship. Many of us who are in a relationship might want to enhance it or have it be more than it is. There's certainly a great deal of infomercials and tapes out there to deal with relationships, so clearly the question of how to do it is still in question, and we're still struggling with what that's about and how to do it correctly. Correctly in the sense of getting our needs met in a respectful way and also giving that kind of sharing that makes our spouse or significant other feel like they are appreciated and wanted in our lives. So, let's start with some of that. Last week I talked about the four pillars that I like to see building a relationship on. I think we started to talk about it. I got a call that was very interesting about issues, one of them being trust, and talking about the time aspect. So I'd like to start with the timing issue. So many people are in a hurry. You know, you're going to chuckle when I say that, but the reality is it's true. Now, there are some people who are struggling with a biological clock issue in terms of having children, and there is a certain desire to move things along in terms of having children at a fairly appropriate age in terms of the timing and age. But the reality is, in most situations, we do not need to rush relationships. So many people are looking to find someone in a hurry, connect with someone in a hurry, make sure that there is a we developing in a hurry, and then move into more committed situations of either living together and or marriage. What I say to you is, what is the hurry? As my martial arts teacher used to say, speed kills. When we hurry through something, when we move too quickly, we are not focused, we are not centered, and we are not concentrating on what it is that we need from this relationship or need from this person in terms of the type of things we want in a relationship. We are really focused more on getting the goal rather than the process of creating trust, creating intimacy, creating compassion, creating a sense of unconditional love, and a sense that there is a we-ness. And that the other person, as Bill and I talk about often, walks their talk. It's easy for someone in a very early part of a relationship to talk about the fact that they are someone who is committed, who is trustworthy, who wants to be serious, who wants to be involved, and who wants to find that person that is, in the clichéic words, that soulmate. But are they? And how do you know? One of the people called in last week said, well, how do I know? And I said, be patient. People are not patient. What is the hurry? Because if you hurry into something, the reality is about 6 months down the road, you're going to be calling me up and coming in for a couple sessions because it isn't working. And there are reasons for that. We're going to be talking about that as I move along here. Again, if you'd like to give some comment or have some feedback on what I'm saying, you can reach me at 649-KNRY. That's 649-KNRY. So the deal is patience. Patience is a virtue. Why is that? Is it just because it's a cliche and our mothers used to like to tell us that? No, because it really works. We need to take time. If you are learning a skill, if you are learning a musical instrument, if you are learning a new language, if you are learning a certain professional way of handling yourself, it doesn't happen overnight. Things take time. People take time. And what's even more important is our hearts take time. Our heart is not a deductive, linear reasoning computer that just sizes someone up, checks off things on the checklist, and moves right into what it is that we are wanting from someone, sizes them up, and says yes or no. It just doesn't work that way. Check your history. It doesn't work that way. The way it works is by getting out of your head, out of the intellect, out of the checklist around exactly who it is you're supposed to get, and if they get 9 out of 10 checks, then you should grab them. Well, not really, because maybe the reality is that you just came out of a relationship in which someone betrayed you and was disloyal, and what you found in someone is they've got the big checks of yes, they're loyal, yes, they're steadfast, and yes, they're monogamous. However, what I find in those kind of relationships, they forgot to check those other things that caused them some problems in the first place, which are maybe passion, maybe chemistry, maybe a soul connection. And what happens is I've got people who feel they're dating their brothers or sisters in the sense of someone that they care about a great deal and feel very close to and can truly trust, but there's no passion. The reality is we are not jumping from one relationship to the other and saying, well, this didn't work in the last one, so I'm not wanting that ever again. That's not the issue. The issue is it is a holistic approach of many things that make you feel that you are connected to someone in a way that works. And it has to do with many things. But the bottom line thing is, it's not in the brain. It's in the heart. Unless you have that sense of a spiritual, chemical connection with someone. And the way that looks is, you've all heard it from friends, or you've all had some of that happen before. It comes up in the sense of saying, I feel like I've known you a long time. I feel like you're someone that, you know, I've talked to all my life. I feel like you're someone I've truly met before. It's odd. Well, maybe not so odd. It's very interesting that in quantum physics, matter never dies. Matter goes from container to container. So it's possible that you tripped across this person's matter before. And therefore it feels, quote unquote, feels familiar. And when it feels familiar, it usually is. Now, the next step is, what do you do with that familiarity? Well, you check it out, because on top of the familiarity is a personality. And as many of us are midlifers and baby boomers, we are getting out of divorces and coming into new relationships after 15, 20 years of marriage in our late 30s, 40s, or 50s, and we don't know what that means anymore. We don't know exactly what it means to connect with someone's personality at this age, because there's a great deal of what? Of baggage. There's a lot of baggage. In fact, there was an infomercial with Barbara DeAngelis that I thought was very clever. She walked onto stage with a cart that you'd see at a train station full of luggage and talking about the different aspects of personalities around that. I thought it was very funny. But the reality is, if you've lived life, you have baggage. And the more you've lived, certainly there's more compassion and wherewithal and wisdom. But along with that wisdom comes the baggage. So the personalities are something we have to contend with, especially when we're not in our 20s and we're in our mid-30s or mid-40s or 50s. We have to contend with other people's baggage, and it's going to be difficult because we have a lot of guardedness and defensiveness about that. Well, how do we deal with that? Again, time. And what are we putting that time on? What are we harnessing around that luggage conveyor of personality issues that will allow us to start ferreting through it? Well, as I said last week, there are four cornerstones of a relationship that I like to think and put out to my couples and patients that I think is important and is part of what you need to look at and have in a relationship that works. And those four are trust, unconditional love, respect, and compassion. Now, how do you look at those? Well, there's lots of ways. This is my hit on it, and I own it as mine. The first one is trust. Basically, what that means is, does the person show up? Are they who they say they are? When they are doing something, or offering something, or promising something, do they show up? Are they people that they say they are? How do you know that? Like anything else, time. Because you offer, as Dan said from Salinas last week, and by the way, when you do call in, you can call in anonymously. You do not have to call in and leave your name. You can just be a caller who wants to put something out on the air. Again, let me remind you that this is Heart and Soul. I'm Dr. Gary Richmond. My co-host, Dr. Bill Little, is not here today. And if you want to reach us, you can reach us at 649-KNRY. 649-KNRY. Listen to me. I still think there's an us here. It's like Bill's spirit is sitting here with me. It kind of gets me through the shows that I do by myself when I'm stretching this way. The second issue is respect. Well, what does that mean? It means that you feel, in a sense, honored by the other person. It means that who you are in terms of how you show up, what you do professionally, the ways in which you attend to the other person, and things you think and have to say are respected. They do not have to be agreed with. This is not about you're supposed to think like me and clone me and be like me. No, not at all. I want to make that really clear. People in relationships are adults. They are thinking adults. They have opinions, and those opinions can be different. And that does not mean disrespect or negating of the other person. There is a way that people can disagree respectfully. In the sense of the corporate styles, it is not the old win-lose approach where I win and you lose. What I tell every couple I see, because they usually come in after there have been many wounds and they're about ready to throw in the towel, and they come in to say, okay, Dr. Richmond, is there something you can do for us that we can't think of before we end this? And there usually is, and we go that route. But the deal is, what I say to people is, in terms of win and lose, if you or your spouse get into a win-lose battle, no matter who wins, the marriage loses. So let me get that down again. When you are caught up in a win-lose battle in a relationship where personalities and egos are on the line, I don't care who wins, the marriage loses. And the deal is because it's not respectful. Win-lose is an aggressive stance. Somebody wins and somebody's bloody, and that's not a good place to be. What you want to do is have discussions. And you want to discuss things in terms of a win-win approach, which is a respectful putting out of one's opinion and leaving it open for discussion around what the other person thinks. It is not that I am trying to be smarter, brighter, better, more knowledgeable, or more verbal than you. It is that I just had something I wanted to put out and get your opinion or your thoughts on it. And it can be a disagreement. When it's a win-win disagreement based on respect, you are not out to annihilate or get over on the other person. What you are doing is you are putting out to the other person a respectful sense of what is important to you with a discussion. And what you also want in that discussion, which doesn't happen in a win-lose situation, you want a healthy resolve. Which means both people leave the discussion with a sense that they were honored and respected and heard, in that what they had to say was taken in, digested, may not be agreed with, but at least it was heard and understood. Hopefully, in some respects, those major disagreements do not occur most of the time. Hopefully, a couple has some sense of in-syncness that allows them to talk about some of the important things to each of the people in the couple, with a sense of agreement. But it is hopeful that the major issues are not something that are done in a competitive, distrustful, and disrespectful way. It needs to be put out, sometimes gently, but put it out as you'd like to hear it. And if you're not getting the response you want, then check with the other person about what it is that you do that is putting out a communication in a way that isn't being heard and isn't being appreciated. sometimes we put something out and we don't get back the type of, not response per se, but the tone, the body language, the posturing that we would have expected from what we thought was an innocuous question, you better check out what you're doing that's ticking the other person off. Because as I tell every one of my couples, it doesn't matter who else in the world has heard you, understood you, empathized with you, supported you, listened to you. If you do not have your audience in mind, which is the other person you're in the relationship with, and get them to hear and understand you, and find out what it vehicle is that's going to get you there, then you are not attending to your audience. You are not then either putting out things respectfully, and you're certainly probably not going to be heard respectfully. If you're putting out things that are, let's say you're putting out something that you think is benign and fairly innocuous in terms of a statement, but the other person's hearing it as an attack. Well, if you put out an innocuous statement and you're getting an attack back, you're not putting it out correctly for that person. You need to regroup and say, why is it when I put this out, you feel that it's this, or you come at me this way? We have to attend to who our audience is. And the only audience you have to deal with in a relationship is that other person sitting across from you. And it's not about bringing in all the other people who have understood you, because it really doesn't matter. Now, if the person you're with never understands you, you may need to rethink this relationship. But most people come together from different perspectives, and you've got to sit in a sync and a sense of in-syncness, if you will, with the other person and understand how it is that they are going to hear you and you are going to hear them. And that's part of the early stuff in relationships. Let's move on to the next one. Next one is compassion. Well, what is compassion? I'm not sure if we're born with compassion, because we certainly can't ask infants. But what's clear is that compassion in the personality is something that's typically learned. And it's typically learned from realizing that we are not perfect, that we as human beings are flawed, that we make mistakes. And within our own mistakes, understanding that others make them too. When we understand that others make mistakes, that others are human, and that we can't hold them up to a perfection standard that doesn't exist, we start to have compassion for things that people do that are inappropriate or difficult or negative, especially when they're directed to us. Now, again, hopefully that direction is not ongoing, because then that can be either an abusive or a battering relationship, and you don't want to be in that. But if a person misspeaks or is misunderstood or misunderstands you, there is a need to have compassion for the fact that if we are in a couple, or that we are in a couple, and that we are connected and committed, and that we have made a vow to each other to be on the same side, and walk the same walk in terms of a relationship, then you need to hold on to the fact that that person is an ally. That person is not an enemy. If you can hold, or that you hold the person as an ally, offers when they make mistakes, or allows you when they make mistakes, to have a sense of compassion. Because it's, I know you, I trust you, I have a sense of who you are, I hold you in my heart, I know you hold me in your heart, and so what you just said, though it hurt my feelings, or though it was something that I didn't expect, I will have compassion for what that is. I will call you on it. I will let you know that it didn't feel good. But I won't come at you as an enemy and need to retaliate or annihilate. I will come to you with a sense of, I know you love me, and what you just did was not loving. What happened? How could you do that? Now, sometimes you can say that in the moment. Sometimes you have the wherewithal, or the fact that maybe it's not as intense or difficult and painful as you might have thought, and you can put that out to the person right away. But sometimes, and often not, that hurt, or the zinger, as you might call them, comes across, and you have to take some time because you are hurt or you are angry. And what that is called is time out. That means you tell the other person, you just hurt my feelings. What you just said was not okay with me. But I'm so upset with you, or you are so upset with me, that I can't deal with this right now. And I am either going to sit in another room, I'm going to listen to some music, I'm going to take a walk around the block, I'm going to take a drive, and I will come back, and I will talk to you about it. Now, as I teach all my couples, it is absolutely okay, in terms of having compassion for the other person and resolving issues, to take a time out. The responsibility, though, for the person is for the person who takes the time out to let the other person know when they will be back, because I don't believe anyone in a relationship should make another person worry or be frightened. And you need to let that person know when you will be available to resolve this issue, to talk it through. I cannot tell you how many couples come into my office after 10 or 15 years, or even 5 years, of being together where they have had lots of difficulties, and they may have even taken timeouts, but they don't come back and discuss what it is that went on. They don't come back and deal with why it is that what happened happened. They don't come back and resolve the issue so that they can both feel that they have been heard and honored and understood, and that things have been worked on so it won't happen in that way again, and that they can move on in the relationship. When you leave those kind of zingers unattended to, and I'm not saying you have to attend to every single one, but you do need to attend to a majority of them. If you get hurt, it's very simple to say, you know, that hurt my feelings a little bit. Well, if it's a little bit, then it won't take a long time to resolve. If you hurt my feelings a lot, the discussion's going to be longer. But most of, if not all, but certainly most of, those kinds of ouches, as I call them, that go on in relationships must be resolved. Because if you don't resolve them, they don't go away. It's not, you're not sweeping anything under the carpet. This is not water off a duck's back. What's going on is you are building bricks that are going to cause a wall that is going to cause distance in the relationship. And you're going to get to a place where you are so wounded and walled off that either counseling or in terms of crisis counseling or divorce is going to be imminent. Relationships take work. I had a friend of mine who gave me a wonderful analogy. She said that with she and her fiancé, that of her, they think of their relationship as a flower in a potted plant. And that if you prune it and you water it and you feed it and you give it sunlight and you make sure it's not blown too much in the wind, and you do it on a daily and certainly weekly basis, that flower will continue to thrive. But if you don't, it starts to wither, it starts to have trouble, it can start to die. And what she said to me that was so poignant was, once that flower is dead, there's no resurrecting it. Once you know your relationship is dead, it's over. There's no going back. There's no negotiation, and there's no resolving it. And so you've got to stay aware of how that flower of your relationship is being attended to, and it needs to be watched on an ongoing basis. It's like working out and exercise. You can exercise every day of your life for 20 years, and you stop working out, and 3 or 4 months later, you are out of shape. You have to stay on top of certain things, and relationships, especially intimate romantic relationships, take that kind of work. So, this is Heart and Soul. I'm Dr. Gary Richman. My co-host, Dr. Bill Litter, will be here next week. Sorry, it is at the bottom of the hour, so we'll take a short break, and I'll be right back.
Life is meant to be lived enthusiastically and with joy. At the Pacific Coast Center for Creative Living, this concept is made real through regular classes, seminars, and Sunday lectures on the creative power inherent within each of us. If you wish to enhance relationships, improve finances, increase health, or explore a new level of self-expression, call the center at 372-1942. A schedule of classes and activities is available, and tapes of Dr. Bill Little's lectures and Heart and Soul programs are also available. That number again is 372-1942.
Dr. Gary Richman has, for the past 15 years, worked with adults, adolescents, and couples. In this time, he's developed strategies that he has taught his patients and colleagues to utilize in working with these groups. Dr. Richman enjoys working with adults, transcending their egos for the inner self, parents and teenagers struggling to negotiate a peaceful home life, and with couples who need to relate to each other from clarity and not from the baggage of their past. If you fall into one of these categories and want to bring about change, please call Dr. Richman at 422-3208.
And welcome back to Heart and Soul. We've taken a short break, and I'm back. You'll have to excuse me for saying we. I'm so used to having Dr. Bill sitting next to me, I kind of slip into that. So, what I would like to remind you is this is Heart and Soul. The topic today is couples. The four cornerstones of coupling: trust, unconditional love, respect, and compassion, how to handle them in terms of the personalities that show up in relationships. If you'd like to give a call and talk about any aspect of that or any other issue regarding your life, you have a free therapist right here. Give me a call, 649-KNRY, 649-KNRY, or 649-5679. Toll-free number outside of the peninsula is 888-814-6434. And that is 888-814-6434. So, as we've been talking about the three cornerstones, I've already talked about trust, respect, and compassion. The fourth one is unconditional love. Well, that's something we hear about and gets bandied around and tossed around in a great many ways. People are probably a little tired of hearing of it. But the reality is, it is a very profound part and cornerstone of a relationship and the way people relate to each other. What it means is that it's something I talked about in terms of compassion, and that is that the person you are in love with, the person you have committed to, the person you are walking a life with, that you have a deep inner sense in your gut, in your cells, of having through time gotten to know this person, that you know who this person is. And it's not about how they part their hair, or what kind of clothes they wear, or what the sports they involve themselves in, or their favorite ice cream, or their favorite color. That's information about the personality. But I'm talking about something that actually lays between the groundwork of that spiritual connection and the building, the cornerstones that I've been talking about. Unconditional love is about, I know in my very being who you are. I have an incredible sense, a true knowing sense of who you are. And that does not waver. That you may do bad things, you may do things that misspeak yourself, as I said before, or cause misunderstandings, or cause arguments, but that I know who you are. And so I am safe, resolved, and secure in who that is. And that is why, when you have that kind of regard for someone, that you can walk through the tougher things, because unconditional love is that plane, is one of the pillars, but it is deep-seated in the spiritual connection. You know who this other person is, and you don't lose sight of that. When you don't lose sight of that, and they do stupid or bad things, you are able to look past the behavior, know who the person is, and just deal with the behavior. You don't deal or go after the personality. You go after the behavior. I'm going to explain that in a few minutes, because that brings up another issue for me. But that is a very important stand in which you must be able to stand upon, if you will, in how you relate to people, to the person you're involved in, to the person who you're most involved with on an intimate romantic basis. And when you understand that, then compassion, respect, and trust are part of that entity, and they all work together for you to have a solid house in which you live with someone in terms of how you know them and understand them. And it's why, when there are issues of betrayal, that betrayal causes a loss of what? Does it cause a loss of trust? You bet. Does it cause a loss of respect? You bet. Does it cause a loss of compassion? Maybe not. It may cause the person to be less compassionate about you because they're not sure who you are anymore, and so that compassion can get dented. Does it cause the unconditional love to be blown up? Not typically. You can unconditionally love who someone is, but realize in terms of the personality, there may be things that you can't get beyond. You can love them and wish them well at a core level, but you can realize sometimes you can't be with them. And it's why I say to some people that love isn't enough. And I've got some flack on that, where people say, of course love's enough. Religion teaches us that love is enough. Spiritual teachings teach us that love is enough. Songs teach us that love is enough. And even in psychology, you talk about loving yourself and loving others. So why isn't love enough? Well, love's not enough because you are dealing with two components when you are in a relationship, and neither one can be denied or not attended to. One is the spiritual, chemical, passionate connection, and the other one is the issue of personalities. You can have a spiritual connection with someone that is intense, with passion and chemistry, but your personalities cannot stand to be with one another. And it is where you hear sometimes people who even stay in relationships like that, where they will say, so-and-so and I have a deep-seated love, spiritual connection, and passion for one another, but it is a tumultuous, challenging relationship. Well, what that means is they fight a lot, probably. That they're in each other's face in a way that causes them a lot of difficulty arguing and discomfort. But they are much more connected to the spiritual side of that and kind of put up with the personality issue. Now, sometimes people like that challenge, but it's nice to have some peace in a relationship. But again, that's an adult person's call. So sometimes you have to deal with what that's about for you. Again, it can be that the spiritual connection is mostly enough, and that what you consider challenging is where there's not really a lot of peace in the relationship, but it certainly isn't boring. That's a call that some people have to make. But again, if the personalities are great, where you can live together, you can rely on one another, you can feel comfortable with one another, and you can feel safe with one another, but there really isn't a spiritual connection, there's not a chemical connection, and worse, or certainly paralleled with that, is that there's not a passion with the other person. And so that's the kind of situation where I talk about where a lot of people say that they're kind of living with someone who feels like their brother or sister. They're very comfortable, safe, and secure, but it doesn't really have the stimulation of what a romantic involvement needs. And so you really need both to have what I consider a full, loving, and connected relationship. And it takes work. It takes work for two reasons. One, because personalities are human and they're flawed and they make mistakes, and so they push buttons. The other realities we talked about last week is that relationships are in our lives partially for an unconscious reason, which is they push our buttons so that we can grow and learn. And that's always a tad bit uncomfortable and something we have to attend to. So it's important to have both of those components, to have something that has a lot of connection, a lot of passion, a lot of good feeling, with a kind of a peaceful, safe, comfortable aspect to it. And it's a challenge because many people will tell you, even in their marriages, that they don't have those things. Often you hear that from people who got married in their 20s and now have lived together 10, 15, 20 years, and some of those things weren't aware or weren't cognizant of those things when they were in their 20s. They're things that came about more in an understanding in their 30s. But because they have a lot of history and time and security with one another and children, people decide to stay together. That doesn't mean it's always the best. However, if you have a lot of one of the elements and not the other, that is where counseling can be extremely helpful. Because sometimes there, as I said, are wounds or personality issues that go on that we who are counselors can help you walk around together so that you can start healing some of those things and bring back a different sense of what you both want in the relationship. Sometimes people think you can't have that back, but it's not true. The reality is that there are wounds that get in the way and routines that get built up, and so people don't know that they can change those things in a way that offer each person within the marriage or within the relationship to get more of what they would like that maybe in their 20s they weren't so sure of, but in their 30s they do want. So, let me remind people that this is Heart and Soul. I'm Dr. Gary Richmond talking today about being in relationships. What is the foundation? What are the pillars? What are some of the roadblocks that need to be attended to? Certainly like to have your calls. That's the number here is 649-5679. That's 649-5679 or 649-KNRY if you're on a cell phone. It makes it easier. 649-KNRY. Or around the peninsula, it's 888-814-6434. That's 888-814-6434. So what are two elements that will destroy a relationship? What are two things that you can absolutely count on that will cause a relationship not to work? And one of those things I call character assassinating, and the other thing I call bottom lining, which is more of a threat rather than an action. So how do those things work? Character assassination is when people go after the character of their spouse rather than the behavior that may have upset them. And what that is about is where someone puts down the person for doing something rather than telling them the behavior they did was inappropriate or not appreciated. And when you attack the character of someone, you are maligning in a somewhat vicious way who they are. And in that you do that, know that you are causing them pain. You are putting down the person. It is no longer a sense of what you did hurt me, but I have compassion and unconditional love for you. When you attack someone on a character assassinating level, you break down. You let them know that you do not have compassion for them and that you do not have unconditional love for them, that it is conditional on what they do and who they are. And relationships cannot function in a healthy way if you come from that place. And if you do it too long, because in intimate romantic relationships that have true commitment, you are very vulnerable to that other person, because that is part of being committed. It is part of being intimate, is to be vulnerable. And when someone you love that way attacks you in that kind of vicious way, there are only so many times that you can allow that, because it is so degrading and so eroding and so painful that you can't bounce back from that too many times. And the fact is that in character assassinations, there is always some truth. And when the person attacks you that way, even when it's in anger, which is usually when it occurs, and so boundaries in some respects of respect are broken down and the person attacks you, there is always something in what they say that is true. It is how they feel about you. I don't care what they say, it is how they feel about you. And you need to let people know they can't do that, that you can't fight fairly, that you can't negotiate, that you can't resolve from that kind of stance or pain. And so that's something to consider. The other thing is the bottom lining. And it is something that happens in all relationships. It is not something that is okay, but it needs to stop as soon as possible, which is you do not threaten to leave the relationship unless you're packing your bag and walking out. You do not threaten, because again, you can't fight fair and resolve things if you're worried the person is going to pack up and leave. And so that's something that you need to attend to. You need to be careful not to do that. You can say, I feel like leaving. You can say, I feel like this is so bad I can't continue in it. That's fine. Those are the feelings. But to say that you are packing, leaving, getting a divorce, and threatening that, if anyone does that, you just need to stop the conversation. There is no more discussion. And that needs to not happen, because, again, that is something that is really hard to come back from. So those are things that you need to keep out of your relationships with anyone, but certainly a romantic involvement. We are just too vulnerable with people we truly care about to be using that kind of thing. And personalities just can't bounce back from it. The heart just takes a hit. And after a few hits, or many hits like that, then you start to build up wounds and walls in a relationship that don't allow for the closeness, and then the relationship starts to wither. And as I said, that flower in that potted plant starts to die. And once it's dead, it's gone. So to be real careful of those kind of things. So, let me remind you again, this is Heart and Soul. I'm Dr. Gary Richman. You want to give me a call at 649-KNRY, 649-KNRY. Or around the peninsula for a toll-free number, it's 888-814-6434. That's 888-814-6434. So we're dealing with relationships here. I'm talking about many aspects of the nuts and bolts of what goes on in a relationship. My guess is there are many specific issues that go on in your relationships that you wonder about, take issue with, don't understand, assume or make the wrong choices on, that I'd certainly like to help with in terms of what goes on. Can't believe no one listening doesn't have a relationship or doesn't want a relationship and can't relate to some of the things I'm talking about. So feel free to give us a call or give me a call. There's another thing I wanted to talk about in terms of those people who, as one of the callers said last week, want a relationship but don't exactly know how to put out that energy or that intention or the action to make something like that happen. It's an interesting topic, the issue of relationships. Most people, as I said earlier, have a checklist. And that what they want to do is they want to find someone in a hurry who fits the bill. And the reality is that is an intellectual, Western thinking way of going about how to find someone. Because the reality is we find someone by not looking for them. Now, I know that sounds very Eastern and very, you know, kind of off the wall in terms of Eastern thinking, but the reality is it's true. And I'm not saying that you don't take some action to put yourself out there, because as I tell my patients, no matter how much of the best intention you have and the best visualization you have, if you sit home, you are not going to find that person. They are not going to come knocking at your door. You have to be out in the world. And so you need to have intentions that for the highest good to find someone that will be positive and appropriate in your life. Often we get too much into the checklist. We always leave something out, or the universe has a sense of humor and sends us something with a little twist to it. And that's not always the best thing. So we need to have to put out an intention of finding someone for the highest good that will work with our life in the way we need, and kind of let it go. There's a word in our society that in Eastern societies does not mean the same thing, and that is the word surrender. In the Eastern society, surrender means, and what I'm talking about here, is to put out an intention of what it is you'd like, and then know that it has been put out into the universe, into the energy, so to speak, and let it go without expectation and without holding on for results. And the more you can put that out in that kind of way, the better it is in terms of finding what it is you want. Dr. Bill has a wonderful analogy that if he were here, I'd have him share with you, so I'll share it with you since he's not. He talks about thinking about intention and the issue of surrendering the intention in terms of just knowing it will happen as synonymous with a young child who's sitting at the dining room table with his family and there's sliced bread at the table. When that child puts out an intention and verbalizes a desire to have that bread passed to him, he doesn't for any moment believe that that bread won't come. He doesn't for any moment believe that the powers that be, usually the parents, won't pass that bread to him. He can't possibly fathom that his request could not be honored as something that is worthwhile and important. And therefore, there's no glitch in the energy and the tone of the body language of that request. There's just a knowing that what has been put out will bring what it is that he wants, that the child wants. And that is the same way we need to put out an intention for a relationship. We need to put out that for the highest good to the highest power, as in the parents, or in religious sense, the Father, or the universe, however you want to say it, that you are putting out an energy that will bring back an energy. Now let me offer a quantum physics aspect to that. And again, Dr. Bill has a PhD in physics. I would have him explain this, but I'll do the best I can since he's not here. Is that in matter, when physics do research on matter, they have found that there's a self-fulfilling prophecy with matter. That when they put out an intention for that matter to move in a certain way, it does. Now, as in the fact that we are all atomic structures full of matter and atomic atoms, the reality is that our energy that comes from the matter inside us goes out into the universe, which is total matter, and mixes it up, so to speak, there, and in essence brings back the desired request. Now, the more you can allow and internalize that as beings of matter, we do have energy. On a quantum physics level, you don't even have to go into metaphysics or something that you feel is intangible. But as beings of matter, we send out matter into the universe, which is truly matter and made up of an atomic structure. And that there is a linking and a merging and a resonating between the matters that brings back the desired result. So you need to do that in terms of surrendering the intention to the atomic reality, the self-fulfilling prophecy of those mingling matters, that they will bring back the desired result, and let it go. hold on to the intention, allow it to be put out maybe periodically, but know that it is an issue of truth. The second step that you need to do with regard to that, that is a tough one because it deals with a word, again, that in Western society, actually, as I said, the Eastern word for surrender, in the West, surrender is something that is means giving up. Now, in essence, I've just asked you to put out intention and let it go in a sense of giving it up. But in Western world, the vernacular of surrender means to be lost, to lose, to be put to your knees, to not win. And that is not the case. And so that's why it's very tough, because words and language are tough enough when you're dealing with issues of atomic structure. But when one word in our Western culture means something else in an Eastern culture, you can see how difficult it is to adapt a true internalized sense of knowing and acting from full intention on an Eastern plane when you've been brought up in a Western society where words mean the exact opposite. And I'm going to give you another one. This one isn't so much an Eastern one, but a different way of understanding the word need. Now, in our Western culture, and certainly in my field of psychology, the word need is something that is terrible. It's been bad. What we even have 12-step programs around codependence, which is about need and dependence. And so people have been running for cover from the word need, that it's something terrible and awful, and I shouldn't need anyone, I should want to be with someone. And in many cases, some of that is correct. I often teach people myself that you need to come from a place of want, not so much need in the sense of desperation. But there's another way to think about need in terms of relationships that I'd like to put out. And it's a tough one because it feels like it's talking about desperation, dependency, clinging, enmeshment, and being overly involved with someone. And I don't want you to think of it that way in terms of what I'm putting out. When you are thinking about and in actually visualizing and putting out an intention to be in a relationship, I would like you to also allow that you need someone. That it's not about needing someone to complete you. It's about needing someone to be in your life, to add to your life, to support your life, to resonate with your life, and to also walk with you in your life, that you and this other person can lean on each other in a way that provides some stability and support. Now, a lot of people are going to have trouble with that word, and I understand it. But very recently, I've come to understand that the word of needing someone is not bad. It's not negative. It's not engendering some sense of enmeshment and dependence. It is about allowing that in a world where we are taught to be so independent and so autonomous and so separate and so aware of all these things that sometimes we forget that it's just okay to need someone and that it's not a bad thing and that it doesn't mean weakness. Like I said, it doesn't mean dependence. It doesn't mean you can't do it yourself. It doesn't mean you're giving up control. It doesn't mean all those Western things that we've been taught to hold on to. And if you can actually say from that surrendered place that you have a need to be with someone and that it's okay, you're going to send out a vibration into that atomic structure that will shift and cause a ripple that is very different from the sense of, gee, it'd be nice if I had a relationship. Gee, it'd be nice to want somebody. Be nice to have someone want me. Yes, all of that is true. But somehow it doesn't for me, and in my experience, it doesn't bring up the intense depth of the atomic ripple effect, if you will, that you need to have to allow someone to come into your life. And I think one of the things that couples with that, if you will, if you don't mind the pun, is that when you allow yourself to need someone, you are saying to someone, I am open to being vulnerable with you. I am open to being open to you, to sharing my heart and my openness, to let my walls down because I realize I need you in my life. And we are so walled off and guarded, especially in midlife, where we've had lots of garbage happen and lots of betrayals and lots of wounds and lots of walls and baggage to deal with, to start to say once again, I am open to being vulnerable in needing you. And I will survive that because I'm not looking for someone to attack me. I am looking for someone to share that real, true, spiritually open-hearted connection with someone. And when you do that, the universe hears that you are sincere, that you are true to wanting to be with someone in a way that is very deep, very connected, very full, and very open. And that's not to say, again, that the personalities aren't going to show up. It's not to say that it's not going to be somewhat difficult. It's not to say that there won't be the trials and tribulations. There will be, because that's human nature. And it is also that who we find in our life is a mirror to help us grow. Dr. Bill would express it as, you know, when you find someone, there you are. And in essence, that everyone is us, and we are everyone, and everything is a lesson helping us move on in a more complete way. And he's correct. And so when we find someone who's for the highest good, part of that highest good is our learning. So there will be bumps and ripples. But those bumps and ripples can be tolerated, can be resolved, and can be worked through when there is a need of vulnerability that speaks to a spiritual connection based on energy and passion. You can then, from that platform, survive and get through the trials and tribulations of the personality. So, really would like to be, if I were at a seminar, I'd ask people for questions and ask people for their hands and see how they're taking all that in. But since I can't see you all, I just have to ask for you to send in questions. But I'm also looking at the fact that we're at the top of the hour and almost out of time. So if you have any questions, you probably will have to save them for next week when Dr. Bill will be here. And he and I will take up another topic. I also would like to let you know that Dr. Bill and I, though we do pick a topic every week, that doesn't mean that we are not open and available to hearing your topics. There is a phone number here, as I've said many times, that you can call in topics. There is also a email address here, which is knry@redshift.com. That's knry@redshift.com. Redshift is a provider here on the peninsula for internet capability. And you can send in various topics that you feel that we have not covered, or topics that you heard one time and would like to have us elaborate on. We are very open to that. Bill and I have been doing this radio show for over a year now, and that means we've come up with certainly over 45, 50 topics. We're not here every week, but we've done quite a few. And so sometimes it's difficult for us to think of exactly what it is that will work for you, or feels like it parallels or mirrors what it is you want. So what I'd like to say is, please feel free to give us a call and let us know what topics you like. Dr. Bill and I'd be more than happy to talk about them. So this is Heart and Soul with Dr. Gary Richmond. Dr. Bill Little will be here hopefully next week. I'm sure you'll miss him as much as I do. And we will be talking about something else that deals with walking your talk and dealing with living a fuller life. Thanks for listening and take care. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was paid for.
You're listening to KNRY AM 1240 Monterey and AM 540 KIEZ Carmel Valley.